love and endurance. Persecutions, sufferings, what kinds of things happened to me in Antioch, Iconium and Lystra. The persecutions I endured. Yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. While evil men and impostors will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season to correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they'll gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They'll turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. So far.
Well, we've got a very special occasion this morning, and we're staying together for that. So, younger ones, you will be going out to Kids Church Focus very shortly, but I want you to listen in to what this is all about, and you'll be thinking about that a little bit later on as you go out as well. Again, a very warm welcome to friends and family, visitors sharing with us this morning. We are very excited about today, and it's the sort of thing that really gives a shot of adrenaline, really, in the life of our church body, and it's all to the glory of God through Jesus Christ. So what are we actually doing? Well, there's this thing called a profession of faith. What is that? Well, it's something that should thrill us all. In the past, it's not necessarily something that has thrilled people that much. Sadly. What we have here is a young lady, Brooke, she'll be coming up in a moment, who was born into a Christian family. Now, there are serious blessings to being born into such a family. Brooke was baptized as a baby in recognition of those blessings and privileges. Namely, that she would grow up surrounded by those who love Jesus. That she would grow up knowing Jesus as part of her family. That she would grow up hearing again and again and again and again of what Jesus did for her to save her through his death on a cross. And that she would grow up amidst people who would pray for her and love her and encourage her and guide her and challenge her and so much more besides. For the hope that one day she would stand up to say for all to hear, absolutely clear in her own mind, I love Jesus. I want my life to count for him. And I want others to come to know him as well. Now, there's many other things that this profession of faith thing can mean, and some of those are absolutely fine. We're not going to dwell on that, because what we want to celebrate is profession telling all of something that is so special, the living faith that lives in Brooke for the Lord Jesus Christ. We read something of that sort of process in a letter, the one that we've just read, actually. He writes, Paul writes to Timothy, older man to a younger man. He writes to Timothy, and he speaks of Timothy's life growing up in the faith. He says at the start of that letter, I've been reminded, Timothy, of your real faith. That's your love for Jesus, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded now lives in you also. And so in the reading that we just had, Paul says to Timothy, you continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God, or the woman of God for that matter, may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Did you see that for Paul, Timothy has been exposed to the best thing he could possibly ever have been exposed to, and that since he was an infant? Now, of course, at Brooke's baptism, we couldn't say absolutely whether that day would come when she would profess her faith, but we could certainly pray for it. And today, we get to formally, publicly recognize something that has happened over a course of a long period of time, that God has answered so very many prayers. Many prayers offered by the family and friends over the years. And so, nothing's happening today. This is about what has happened. The only thing that's happening today is that we get to celebrate what God has done, and Brooke gets to stand up here and be really nervous. But Brooke has grown into the faith. She owns it for herself. Jesus is her Lord and Saviour. And so what we have here, and it's clear for us to see actually, is a living faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Can we get excited about that? Mel can. I detected a big yelp in your hearts. Heaven gets excited about this. We should too. I'm going to ask Brooke to come up here now, and she's going to share with us something of how God has brought her to this point, and perhaps where goes from here onwards as well. Thanks, Brooke.
Thanks. I'm really nervous.
There you go. Let's get that in the right place.
Is that better? Can you hear me, everyone?
It's there? Fine. It's fine.
Is that right?
Good.
Okay,
good.
Awesome. You can see me start to shake in a second. When I realised that I was actually going to have to do a speech, I was a bit freaked out. I was like, oh no, what am I going to say? And Graham's pretty much said everything that you need to know already, but I'll just elaborate. Yeah, okay, thanks. So when I went and had a meeting with Graham, he said to say a bit about kind of where I've been, where I am, and where I hope to go. So that's kind of what I've got. So where I've been. I've been so blessed to grow up in a Christian family. And I've always known and I've always believed that God is there and that he's real and that he loves me and cares for me. And that's just been awesome. And a lot of people don't have that. And so, yeah, I'm really thankful for that. In primary school, I can remember when I was in the playground, you know, it was a nice day and I would quickly say a little prayer saying, oh, thanks God for the sun or something like that. And so it's really been something that's kind of been with me my whole life. And growing up in a Christian family, I knew a lot about the Bible and I was quite knowledgeable about things to do with God and what I believed and that kind of thing. I knew a lot of the what, like what did I believe, but it was a bit more challenging going to high school, saying why I believed it. You get asked a lot of questions in high school about, oh, why do you think that? And yeah, so I think when you struggle with things like that, it helps you become a lot stronger, because when you have an issue that you're not sure about, you just, you know, keep going back to the Bible again and again and trying to work out exactly what it says and what you're meant to believe, I guess, what God says about it rather than what you just think about it. Yeah, so that was good. In high school, our old church kind of broke up, and that was a really hard time for me because that's kind of what I'd always known, and the future was really uncertain, and I was really worrying about everything, what was going to happen and where we were going to go. And I was reading the Bible one night, and I read Psalm 46. Can I read that out for you now? Here we go. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice and the earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see what the Lord has done, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. He says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. I read that psalm and I felt God speak to me so much through it, to know how powerful he is and how awesome he is, and why should I worry about something small like that when I know that that awesome God who does all that stuff looks after me and cares for me. And that was just the hugest comfort for me at that time. And that's when I really felt like I knew God, like I had a connection with God. And then from then I just had real joy finding comfort in God and praying and reading the Bible. And yeah, that's just, I go back to that sometimes when I'm feeling a bit worried or anxious or afraid. It just, yeah, it's just a huge comfort. And I guess everyone has ups and downs and struggles with stuff, and I have. And I now feel God's forgiveness when I do the wrong thing. For a lot of time, if I did the wrong thing, I would feel really guilty. And then even though I'd ask for forgiveness, I wouldn't feel it. But now God has really changed that in me. And when I ask for forgiveness, I can feel it. And I don't feel guilty anymore. I've started to see God at work in all aspects of my life, even the smallest things. You know, just when I'm walking home and it's a nice day and I just am amazed about how God has made such a beautiful place for us to live in, and just, you know, when the flowers are out and how he just puts so much detail into the smallest things, and then how awesome it is that he also cares for us. I also want to say thanks to everyone who's here who's part of my church family, and God has really strengthened my faith and encouraged me through a lot of you, even if you don't know it. A lot of you have faith that I admire, and I thank God for you as well. Well, I guess what I'm really here to say is to tell you all that I believe that God has chosen me to save me from hell, give me eternal life with him in heaven. I believe that there's nothing that I can do of myself to get there, but that Jesus died on the cross in my place, and that the Holy Spirit lives in my heart and is transforming me every day to be more like Jesus. Yeah, that's it.
Thanks for your honesty, Brooke. It's great to hear from the person professing, really, because the answers to these questions are basically yes. But please take the opportunity today to really encourage our sister. She's doing something big for Jesus, and there's going to be repercussions from enemies of the cross and from the devil. That's living faith in Jesus Christ. Jesus said to his followers in John chapter 15, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last." Brooks just said it. She couldn't save herself. She was chosen by Jesus. And if Jesus hadn't chosen Brooke, Brooke would never have chosen Jesus. And Jesus also said to his followers in the same place in John 15, "Apart from me, you can do nothing." And so there's a bunch of questions I'm now going to put to Brooke. And the reality is, she's not really going to be able to do any of it on her own, in her own strength. And so the answer to each one is yes, but it's really by the grace of God I do. You got that? Okay. So we'll go through this and then we're going to pray for Brooke. I might just ask Steve, leader of her gospel community, to come up and say a prayer, and one or two others will be able to come up as well and just gather around Brooke at this time. Anyway, some questions to you, Brooke. Do you take God the Father as your Father?
By the grace of God, I do.
Do you take God the Son as your Saviour?
By the grace of God, I do. I have to say this a lot of times, by the way.
It's worth remembering, though, because it's important. Do you take God the Holy Spirit as your teacher?
By the grace of God, I do.
Do you take God's word as your guide?
By the grace of God, I do.
Do you take God's church as your family?
By the grace of God, I do.
And do you take God's mission as your mission?
By the grace of God, I do.
You're answering yes to these questions, Brooke. You profess that you believe in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. That you believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Son of God who died for you to bring you from death to new, glorious, eternal life. And that you accept the teaching of the Old and New Testaments of the Bible summarized in our confessions taught in this church as the true doctrine of salvation. Is that right? Is that yes?
Yes.
Okay, and so, will you continue to turn from sin and instead, with repentance, trust and joy, embrace Christ not just as Saviour but also as Lord as long as you shall live?
By the grace of God, I will.
And do you promise to do all you can with the help of the Holy Spirit to grow stronger in your love and commitment to Christ by sharing fully and faithfully in the life and mission of the church and to join with them in doing God's work wherever you are?
By the grace of God, I do.
Fantastic. I'll just ask Steve to come out and Brooke's immediate family perhaps, and you can pick who else you want to come out, but we'll just gather round. Just come over there, a bit more space, less wires, health and safety. Come over this way a bit, sister. There you go. Lovely. All right, well, don't keep your distance. Okay, I'm just going to say some words of blessing, and then, Steve, if you can pray for Brooke, that'd be awesome. Brooke, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And now to him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God our Saviour, be glory, majesty, power and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Steve.
Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for everything. We thank you for our family. We thank you for the 18 years already clocked up walking with you and in you. We praise you too for today, for Brooke's confession, profession of faith. We thank you for what you've done in her life. We thank you for those two little snippets of impact you had in her life, one in primary school and one in high school, but there are dozens more we know. We pray, Lord, that as she walks through life, you'll continue to be near to her. We thank you that you will. We pray that not just in the hard times, but in everything in life, the good times and the ordinary times, she'll turn to you, knowing you as her loving Heavenly Father. We praise you for your Holy Spirit that has revealed to Brooke the saving work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that she's got a really good handle on the fact that apart from him, she can do nothing. She is nothing. Her destiny was hell, but in the Lord Jesus, her destiny is heaven with you for all eternity. And we praise you for that. We pray too for us as her family and her friends, that we can continue to support her, to love her, to urge the good things that you want in her. We pray that as she grows up and leaves home and forms a new family of her own and becomes independent in that way of her own family, that she can become 100% dependent on you and your Holy Spirit to teach her, to lead her, to guide her, to nurture her, to encourage her and bless her. So, Lord, we just thank you for this awesome time this morning of hearing another one of your beautiful children profess a wholehearted faith in you. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Okay, thanks, guys. And Brooke, if you can just remain up here just for a moment. The others, you can go. Thanks, Steve. Just as Steve hinted in his prayer there, there's us and her. She's not on her own. And there's a wider family, and I'm sure they want to continue encouraging her. But I want to ask the congregation here something, and the answer is the same as Brooke's answer all the way through. By the grace of God, yes, or I do, or we do, or something like that. By the grace of God, we do. There you go. I've written it down just so you don't get confused. So I want to ask you, congregation, do you promise to continue to encourage Brooke as she seeks, along with you, to serve Christ, his people, and the lost in the gospel, and particularly as she and we become more aware of the gifts that have been given to her with which to glorify God? We do. Fantastic. We've got a bit of a gift and a...
Koorong the other day. Graham was in there buying me a present.
She's not nervous anymore, is she? There's a certificate just to stick up on your wall or whatever. And this is something that's very, very helpful for those who want to be much more serious about getting to the Bible. Now, I've got to be careful with this because today we're thinking about listening to God's words and not man's words. And yet there are godly people who have studied and have brought their gifts to bear on the Bible to help us understand it and to just provide resources for us. This is an excellent thing for anyone who wants to be more serious about getting into the Bible. The New Bible Commentary, it's a commentary on the whole of the Bible. It's done by godly people who know what it is to love the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we're giving that to you to help you along your way. And it's been great, really, to see her starting to pass on the baton to others, along with Lara doing a little thing with the younger girls. Fantastic to see that passion growing. So, thanks, Brooke. Good on you. Let me just pray just before the kids go out to kids' church, where you'll be thinking about the blessings of being brought up in a Christian family or even a church family, and how good a thing that is. Let's pray. Lord our God, we thank you for your word and your spirit through which we know the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Saviour. May our dear sister Brooke never cease to wonder at all that you have done for her. Please help her to continue firmly in this living faith. Cause your Holy Spirit to shape her and to produce his fruit in increasing measure in her life, as well as clarifying that which you've given specifically to her with which to serve yourself. May her life and her witness point others to you and your love to them in the gospel. Protect her, we pray, and us from the schemes of the devil. Help her to endure persecution for the sake of your name. And may we, along with all your children, live together in the joy and the power of the Holy Spirit. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, kids, we'll see you a bit later on. Those who are staying in, you can be opening up the Bible again, where we were reading 2 Timothy 3. And older kids, you can grab a sheet with a clipboard from the back, and you can take down some of the little bits and pieces as we go through our time this morning. If anyone needs to use the creche facilities, there's a room just out here. You can either go out this door or round, and there's a room that's equipped for that purpose. You got the slide up, Jim? Oh, you're giving it all away, Jim. First one after the songs. Okay, let's just pray again, shall we? Father, we thank you for your grace. You haven't left us to ourselves. You have revealed yourself to us. And as we think about that and how you've done that, not only through your word, but you've brought people back to your word through history again and again, will you please teach us this morning? May the Holy Spirit, who caused these scriptures to be recorded, please be our teacher this morning. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this series that we're beginning is a little different from what we normally do. It centres on some crucial Christian doctrine. Doctrine really just means teaching. So some crucial Christian teachings. Now, I hope I didn't just see your eyes glaze over when I said doctrine. Did I see any eyes glaze over? That can happen when you mention that word. But I said these are crucial doctrines after all. So for that reason, if no other, please don't glaze over. These doctrines that we're going to be thinking about are not just absolutely central to who we are in this church and what we're about as this church, and therefore should never be allowed to send us to sleep. But the way that they were blasted back onto the stage of history is nothing short of spectacular. And so as we travel through this series, we're going to be talking a lot about something that we call the Reformation. And we probably wouldn't be sitting here today if it hadn't have happened, I reckon. It's a bit of a speculative thing, but it's that big of a deal and we'll hopefully get a sense of why it was a big deal as we look at what we've got this morning. So as we look at these things in the next few weeks, we're going to pick out their enormity from when they were established, when God provided them for his people. But hopefully we're also going to feel something of the desperateness of moving away from them, as has happened in history, and therefore also the relief of coming back to them, as has also happened in history. But not just coming back to them, owning them for ourselves in this time, in this moment of history, so that we don't take them for granted. Now, in the Reformation, a number of these doctrines, all of which concern how we can be saved, that's why they're crucial, came to be expressed in a form that showed a sort of back to basics, back to the beginning, back to the truth sort of approach, which is a pretty boring way of talking about a revolutionary mindset, the watchwords of a whole revolution. And that's what it was, a spiritual revolution. Incidentally, that's what always happens when God makes his voice heard. And may it continue to happen. And so there's a period in the Bible I want to use to set our scene. A period in the Bible that's described in these words in Scripture. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. It's recorded in 1 Samuel chapter 3. What it's saying is that God was not speaking much, if at all. People in God's name were doing lots and lots of things. There was stuff happening. Ministry was happening. Plenty of stuff going on. But there was no word from God. In a cryptic little comment in 1 Samuel 3, we're told that the lamp of God had not yet gone out. It's a sort of a little picture-y sort of hint that there's this thing spluttering away, just about to go out. There's a dying little chink of light, fading hope in what seems to be an increasingly desperate situation. So it's just about to go out, but for a little boy called Samuel, who hears a voice in the dark and eventually becomes aware, although it takes a few goes, that none other than God is speaking to him, and so God speaks again. Now, if you were going to begin speaking about the period around 1400 AD to 1500 AD in Europe, you might well begin with something like, the lamp of God had nearly gone out. Very similar. Or at least, 'twas a dark and stormy night. That might be the campfire version. And so to imagine what was going on in that period, around the time when the Reformation happened, try this on for size. You rock up to church in the morning. Oh, here you are. You have. Okay, good. And the minister says, we're going to hear from God now. We're going to hear from God now. That's it, that's what I like, the expectancy, the anticipation. So here we go. Dios, habiendo hablado muchas veces en muchas maneras en otro tiempo a los padres por los profetas. En estos postreros días nos la hablado por el Hijo, al cual constituyó heredero de todo, por el cual asimismo hizo el universo. Él, cual siendo el resplandor de su gloria y la misma imagen de su sustancia, y sustentando todas las cosas con la palabra de su potencia, habiendo hecho la purgación de nuestros pecados por sí mismo, se sentó a la diestra de la majestad en las alturas. ¿Sí? ¿Entiende? No entiendo. Any idea what I was reading? Who wants to have a punt? Well, who knows Spanish, first of all? Un poquito? ¿Hablas un poquito? Sí. Muy bien. Where was it from then? Okay. It was from the Bible. It's from the Bible. That's a good guess. That's right. Okay, that's good. Colossians 1, 15? No, it's not. It was what Jake read out at the start of our service. Hebrews 1. But it could have been anything to you lot, couldn't it? You wouldn't have a clue, really. And that was the point. Even if you went up to the priest in those times, oftentimes they didn't really understand this Latin language very well themselves. The language of Latin was what they were using at the time. And even if they could read it, they couldn't understand it that well. Just like I can sort of have a go at reading Spanish, but I don't really understand it that well. And so in those dark days, it was the church who said, more times than not, what should be done or not. The church decided that. And that could be for all manner of reasons, but mostly because of something they call tradition. Or, perhaps for the more cynical, and this was becoming more and more obvious to the plain person, because of the financial benefits that doing a certain thing would gain for the church. The Bible seemed to have very little to do with it, except that from time to time, some learned priest or cardinal would come and put a rocket up the people, any of these dissenters, to demonstrate that they did know what they were talking about, and because you don't know what you're talking about, please shut your mouths and don't talk about things you don't understand. And who had the final authority to decide on all of these things and impose it on everyone? Who had that job? Who did people look to for their authority? The Pope. The Pope. He was the final judge on all such matters. Believed to speak the very word of God when he was speaking ex cathedra. Now, of course, that left John Plowman and all the other people who couldn't understand Latin in desperate spiritual straits. Very, very few people could read. Very few people could handle Latin. Very few people could therefore understand the Bible. Priests and the church could say what they wanted to say with absolute impunity, really. And anything that crossed what they said would be called heresy. And that was a quick way to die. It was a dark and stormy night. Now, in God's providence, the church was rocked by great arguments and splits, which resulted in a situation around 1400 of there being suddenly three claimants to the position of Pope. Now, that's going to cause a problem, isn't it? Who's going to decide? Three popes, three possible popes. In the end, they ended up convening a committee, which then had more authority than the popes. It's obviously a bit ridiculous. In the end, they didn't take any of those three and they appointed a brand new one. So it's a great committee. But how to decide? The Pope can't now be the final authority. How to decide on these matters? How to decide what really does matter? The Pope's authority had been shaken. And that wasn't lost on many people who were becoming weary of this darkness. And it helped, actually, many of the ordinary people around to be prepared for this foundational issue that we're thinking about this morning that became the foundational issue of the entire Reformation. It didn't just provide one more piece of evidence for the fallenness and corruption of the Roman Church hierarchy at that time, this sort of Pope rubbish, but it paved the way for this thing, that Scripture alone, is the final authority for salvation, faith, and life, and that true doctrine is scriptural doctrine. Very bluntly, that the Word of God, rather than the Word of men, is what is authoritative. Don't be gullible and accept what anyone says, what a person says, however impressive their clothes are or however big their titles are. God's word, not man's word. Now, it was Martin Luther, who we'll get to know a little bit about during this series, who in studying God's word in Germany in the early 1500s discovered in the book of Romans chapter 1 verse 17 that the just will live by faith, the righteous will live by faith. That is, straight away, whether you are righteous or not in God's sight is not achieved by things that you do, or perhaps more pertinently, things that you're told to do. It's not achieved by that. It's achieved by Jesus Christ on your behalf and through faith you benefit from it. That's what the scripture basically said, and Luther pursued that thread to the great benefit of all of us. Scripture said faith in Jesus. The church at that time said all this stuff you need to do. Confessions weekly, if not more. Masses, penances, payment for indulgences, which were these little deals whereby you could buy a little bit of time off your punishment in purgatory. Kissing relics, doing pilgrimages, and so on and so on and so on. And people had been starved of the Word of God. And they were hungry for it more than they knew, because their eternal destiny was at stake in these things. So let's think briefly then about this emphasis. The big idea is up there, I think, already. If you can just tap it again, Jim, we'll get our first point up. The Holy Scriptures. The Holy Scriptures are God's very words. Can't go into massive detail on this. There's huge categories of systematic theology to delve through at your leisure as you get into big books about the size of the one that I gave to Brooke. You can look at that at your leisure, but I will give a brief survey of some stuff that's pertinent. From the very start of the Bible, we're presented with a God who reveals himself to us through words. He speaks. And in fact, by the end of it, you can't have missed that it claims to be God presenting himself to us through those words that we see in the Bible. So not only is the Bible, as you read it, saturated with these things, God said, God spoke, says the Lord, and so on, words that are actually attributed to God in the text, but we find actually that all of the thrust and the teaching of the Old Testament, for example, is about Jesus. That all Scripture is also God-breathed. His very own breath. We're also told that men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. This is the Bible's testimony about itself. It's from God. It's about God. It's so we might know Jesus. And men didn't just write it down. The Holy Spirit was in the thick of that. We do need to be clear about that. The Bible is unique. But just listen to this quote. This is from Mark Driscoll and Jerry Brashear's book on doctrine, which our youth have been well acquainted with. And so, let me just read this out. Unlike any other book, the Bible is a book written by both God and man. But it was not co-authored, as this book is, the one that they wrote. It was not God and humans collaborating, or a human writing a draft with God making revisions, or God giving ideas that human authors put into words. They were not words dictated to humans, as with the Quran. The Bible is not human writings that become divine when the reader discovers spiritual meaning in them, as with the writings of many Eastern religions. It is not one of many books containing the religious insights of ancient sages, as many liberals teach today. People who were providentially prepared by God and motivated and superintended by the Holy Spirit spoke and wrote according to their own personalities and circumstances in such a way that their words are the very word of God. God's supernatural guidance of the writers and their situations enabled them to receive and communicate all God would have us know for His glory and our salvation. We call this divine inspiration. Putting it a bit more technically, the writings themselves have the quality of being God-breathed. It is not the authors or the process that is inspired, but the writings. The Holy Scriptures are the very words of God. And they're not just words that He spoke way back when, as they're recorded in the Bible, so long ago. God speaks to us today. He speaks to us today, and I just want to show you that quickly by a little bit of a study in Hebrews, actually. To show that the Bible's message is for us now, just as much as it was for the people that it was written to. Have a look at Hebrews in a Bible nearby. Hebrews chapter 3. Someone might want to shout out the number of the page if you get there, in the big blue ones, perhaps. 1185 in the blue ones. Hebrews chapter 3. This is a great thing to have, to see something pretty amazing, really. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7. We're sort of breaking into an argument, but it stands up. As the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 15 says this, as has just been said, today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 7, just a little bit further, says, therefore God again said a certain day, calling it today, when a long time later He spoke through David, as was said before, today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts. We've got God's message to His people in the time of the Exodus, which was basically, I'm a God of grace, don't harden your hearts. But they did. That's recorded for us at the start of the Bible. You've got God's message through, it says, the Holy Spirit, chapter 3, verse 7. And that message comes through Psalm 95, which is a psalm that was written in the Old Testament looking back to the Exodus with the message, today if you hear His voice, don't harden your hearts, as they did back then. Chapter 3, verse 7, has the Holy Spirit says in the present continuous to the Hebrews and, I guess, to us. Whatever He's saying, He's saying. Chapter 3, verse 15, you have the writer to the Hebrews who's taking up Psalm 95's message for his time now. Well, when he was writing the letter. First century. Chapter 4, verse 7, you have God's message. Now it's through David. David said it's the same message for his time, recorded in Psalm 95. In David's time. And then all the way through it, we've got today, today, today. And if it's not called today, then you can go home, thank you very much, don't need to listen to it. But it's today, today. And the message is to us as well. This teaching stands. It's just an example of how Scripture works, very simply for us to understand. God's message to us today. All Scripture is God-breathed and useful, as Timothy would say. Breathed out by Him. The very words of God. That's why we need to be serious about it. That's why, partly why, Scripture alone. There's another thing though, and we've touched on it already in our time here. Jim, hit that button. The Holy Scriptures make us wise for salvation. This is in the passage that we were looking at in 2 Timothy 3. 2 Timothy 3, verse 14. You, Timothy, continue in what you have learned and become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you've known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. See, it's one thing to say the Scriptures are God's Word. It's one thing to say they're His very words. But it's another thing to understand why He's saying them to you. The Holy Scriptures are helpful and good, but not in the same way as a phone book is helpful and perhaps good. It's actually a little more help that we need than just categorized information and phone numbers. And because it is the Word of God, and it's not just this sort of phone book sort of helpfulness thing, because it's the Word of God, it is personal. There's this personal dimension. It's communication from a person to others, God to people like us. And so we can ask, perhaps, what sort of tone does it come with? And the answer is many different tones. There's anger, there's warning, and there's great comfort and tenderness. There's excitement. Lots of different aspects. But all of it, every single bit of it, is directed to one desperate, passionate, glorious goal. And that is to show us Christ. It is to show us the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we've sort of hinted already that this is the way Jesus viewed the Old Testament, John chapter 5. These are the Scriptures that speak of me, he says. And also at the end of Luke's Gospel, when he's on the road to Emmaus with two downhearted disciples after the cross, and they don't know yet about the resurrection, and Jesus is with them on that road, and he says, beginning with Moses and the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the Scriptures concerning himself. And you know what? Their hearts burned inside of them. And so when we say Scripture alone, there are certain things that doesn't mean. It doesn't mean you can just grab a bit of Scripture and use it any way you want. Because you can pretty much work out a manifesto for most things in life, good, bad and ugly, from the Bible. If you were going to take that line. You could grab it and say, the Bible says this, so I can do this. It's not the way to understand it. You can't handle it any way you like. We need to handle the Bible on its own terms. Jesus' words give us this massive clue as to how we're to correctly interpret the Bible. We haven't got time to look at how that all works out. But we need to be saying something about Him. If we're not saying something about Him from where we are in the Old Testament, we're missing something quite big. It's all about Him, he says. And that makes sense, because the Bible reveals God through the way that He reveals Himself, and that's through these words, communication. But we also learn that Jesus is the exact representation of God's being. He is the image of the invisible God, and also famously in John's Gospel, He is called the Word because of that fact. If you want to know what God is like, you look at Jesus. So if you want to look at Jesus, where do you look? The Scriptures. They're all about Him. And so all of that is to say that the nature of God's Word, the Scriptures, all about as it is God's exact visible representation, Jesus, the Word, is actually just to show you Him. To show you how He has effected God's daring plan to save people like you and me, to reveal to you the lengths that He has gone to make it possible for us to be at peace with God. And He also reveals to us the lengths He's gone to save us from hell, from punishment. To warn you with tenderness and passion, and to plead with you to trust in Him Why? To be saved. The scriptures are able to make you wise for salvation. We'll focus on that more in this series. If you want to be wise for salvation, you don't need the words of man. You need the word of God. And so let me ask you, have you been made wise for salvation? Because it's all... Oh, I haven't got my Bible up here now. That's a problem, isn't it? There we go. Because it's in here. That's what it's all about. This thing is all about. God communicating with people. God not leaving us to ourselves. God telling us how he's come in Christ to die on a cross to save us. You don't need the words of man, you need the word of God. So the Holy Scriptures can make us wise for salvation, but then, next one, there you go, the Holy Scriptures can thoroughly equip us for every good work. 2 Timothy 3 again, verse 16, all Scripture is God-breathed, useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting and training in righteousness so that the man of God or the woman of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Anyone got a Swiss Army knife? Yep. All right, flick the switch there. There's a Swiss Army knife. That's a pretty basic one. There's only a few things on there, right? Check out this one. That is the Wenger Evo Giant. Right? 80 tools on there. 110 functions. The problem is, what's the problem with this Swiss Army knife? Sorry? You can't use it. You certainly can't fit it in your pocket. You need a suitcase. You would never use that. It's supposedly built, and it's a bit of an anniversary sort of thing. So it's not really intended to be used that much, I don't think. I hope not, anyway. But you never use it. But what is the ideal tool? Because that's supposed to be the ideal tool for 110 things, if not more. What's the ideal tool for teaching and training in righteousness? What's the ideal tool for rebuking and correcting from unrighteousness? What's the ideal tool for equipping you and me for loving service, for acts of mercy, for encouragement of others, for godly leadership, for working in whatever we do to the glory of God, in heading up a household, in being a parent, in being a husband, in being a wife, in being a child, in being an obedient child, in stewardship of money and resources, or for any other good work? It's not the Evo Giant. What is it? It's the Scriptures, able to thoroughly equip you for every good work. Thoroughly equip for every good work. The Holy Scriptures can thoroughly equip us for every good work. We could say so much more about that, and I'll leave that from perhaps for our gospel communities. But we look so much all over the place. We look at man's words so very quickly, and it's not wrong to read commentaries and books. There are really excellent books out there. But the test of them is what? Is how they handle the Scriptures, isn't it? Because the Scriptures are the Word of God. And those Scriptures make us wise for salvation, but they can thoroughly equip us for every good work. And we're thankful to those who can take time to apply that Word of God on the Bible's own terms to problems that we face, and we can be helped. But never, ever forget that everything we need for faith and life is in the Bible. Let's get to some applications and some implications. What's the so what? So what? Scriptures alone, so what? Well, let me ask some questions. Where are the Scriptures in your life? Where are the Scriptures in your life? If this is the very Word of God, if this is how God has promised to speak, how much of a voice does He have into your life? Perhaps you're not yet wise about salvation. We've already dealt with that. Please, please consider that position. And find the... Sorry, I'm looking at the Book of Forms. That's not good. It's sort of good, but it's not as good as this. Get the answers. Find Jesus and what He's done. What about being equipped for every good work? Do you realize how many one another or each other texts there are in the New Testament? Encouragements to do so, and they're based on the good news about Jesus Christ. They all flow from what Christ has done for us. Where are the Scriptures in your life? Is God speaking into your life frequently? Occasionally, rarely. We've got to think that through. If this is the only scriptural input you get once a week, think that through, please. We'll pick these up again in our gospel communities, but let's widen it out a bit. Where are the Scriptures in your household? It's part of life, obviously, but where are the Scriptures now in your kids' lives? In your household, devotions, is there a devotion to devotions? It's hard, isn't it? And we talk about how hard it is and all the rest of it. This is where we can get around each other, encourage each other. We know it's hard. It's a spiritual thing. But this is life. Read Psalm 19 and see how David views the law, not even the whole of the Scriptures. Sweeter than honey, more precious than much pure gold. Where are the Scriptures in your household? Kids, if the Scriptures aren't in your household, ask for them. You can ask for them. It's a great thing to ask for. It's a way to encourage parents, and parents encourage each other, and parents encourage other parents. We need that encouragement because it's pretty busy. Life is what it is. But we want the Word in it, surely. Where are the Scriptures in our church life? Well, we take care to preach the Bible. We believe that God's Word sets the agenda. We generally do series that are expository. They go through without picking just the purple patches, taking everything if we, just trying to front up to everything. It's so easy, though, in our culture to sit in judgment on Scripture. We can do that in our discussions. We can find people who say what we want them to say. We've got to be very careful. If this is God's Word, there's a humility in keeping with knowing that it's God's Word. As you come to it, there's an expectancy in keeping with knowing that it's God's Word. When we read the Bible on a Sunday, do you realize that's the only infallible part of our service? I work hard to try and make sure I say what's in keeping with God's Word. But that's the only infallible part of our service, and yet we can have a long Bible reading and people glaze over. And that says something, doesn't it? This is God's Word. Now, we don't tend to read the whole of Chronicles or things like that, but it does say something, doesn't it? If we get tired of a long reading, maybe because we think we've heard it before. In accountability in our church life, the Bereans in Acts 17 tested all the things that they'd been taught with all eagerness. They examined the scriptures daily to see if the things they had been taught were actually so. And we are open to that accountability, and we need to remain open to that accountability. But it's something that shows how we own the scriptures, that we take care to search the scriptures to see if what is being said is actually the right stuff. And you know, when it comes down to it, it's pretty easy to tell God to shut up. We can do it just like this. Really? And then we can go and put this on the shelf. And not look at it again for however long. But if we believe that to be the Word of God, we probably won't do that like that ever again. It's a challenge to us. As Luther said, when Scripture speaks, God speaks. And I'm just going to finish with Article 3 of the Belgic Confession, which is one of the confessions of our church, the Reformed Church, and it summarizes this. And I wonder whether you can say amen to this. We confess that this Word of God was not sent nor delivered by the will of men, but that holy men of God spoke, being moved by the Holy Spirit, as Peter says. Afterwards, our God, because of the special care he has for us and our salvation, commanded his servants, the prophets and apostles, to commit this revealed word to writing. He himself wrote with his own finger the two tables of the law. Therefore, we call such writings holy and divine scriptures. This is why the reformers went back to scripture alone, because it is the word of God. He is our authority, and he is authoritative about how you can be saved and how we can be equipped as his people. Let's pray. Father, forgive us for the times when we sit in judgment on your word rather than allowing it to judge us. Forgive us when we go other places to find comfort and security. Forgive us when we turn to other voices and we ignore your voice, your voice that pleads to save the lost, your voice that longs to share with us glorious truths that can lift us higher than anything else possibly could, that can give us courage in the face of even death, and can give us that burning hope, hope for eternity to come, and peace, peace now in the light of that. Thank you that it tells us about Jesus, and that today, as Brooke has professed her faith, we stand with her, all of those of us who know the wisdom that you've given to us in this word for our salvation. For we trust only in him. And we long that many others will too. Please help us to love your voice. Remind us of the words Jesus himself said, that my sheep hear my voice. They love me and they obey me. And give us all great humility. Help us to remember
that you oppose the proud, but give grace to the humble. We ask it for your glory. Amen.
Just going to get the kids to come back in now, just before we have a time of congregational prayer.
Yeah. Go that way.
We're going to spend a bit of time praying together now. In this church here, we like people to share that with us, so we encourage you also to pray from the congregation. There are many things to pray for today, many things to be really thankful for, certainly what we've seen earlier in the service with Brooke. There's also an element of sadness today. For Helen and Graham and their families. Their dad, Paul Sayer, passed away on Friday. He wasn't a well man, but it was still quite a sudden departure. So please remember Helen and Graham and their families, and also their brother and sisters and stepmother Caroline in the UK. I guess the joy in this is that he died with a strong faith in Jesus Christ. And it was great that we could all actually get to see him only a few weeks ago. So God is very good. Please also pray for Michelle and Jane's dad, Hank, who's back in hospital. He's not well at all. And we can also praise God for the continuing evidence that we see of him at work in the hearts and lives of people associated with our church, and we must thank him for that. Please also pray for Mal and Carissa. Now, for those of you who don't know them, Mal was the pastor here for a number of years before Graham and Ali were here. And I believe Mal and Carissa and their kids are off to Jordan next year to work in a church there. So that's exciting and I'm sure challenging. They're going to be having a bit of a meeting on Thursday night at the Kingston Reformed Church to explain to people what they're going to be doing. So please keep that night free if you can. We should also pray for Ange and Tanya, who are at work in the Philippines at the moment. And one of the things that really blows me away about this is that Tanya is not a Christian, yet she's there on a Christian mission. She's just going to be completely surrounded by Christian work, by all sorts of things. So please pray for her and pray that God will have mercy on her. I know a whole bunch of women spent the weekend at Bruny Island as well, and although it was had its ups and downs, I think it was a great weekend, and certainly God worked there, so we can thank him for that as well. So I'll start off, and please join in as you will. Speak in a loud voice and a big amen. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much that you are such a good and loving God. We thank you that so often lately we see the evidence of your work in the hearts of people that we know, in our families, in our friends, and sometimes just complete strangers that happen across our church. And we thank you and praise you for that, Lord. And Father, we are humbled by the fact that you want to use us and do use us. And we pray, Lord, that you would, I guess, give us hearts for the lost, increase our compassion for the lost, and help us to be, continue to be, bold with the gospel. Father, help us to see opportunities and help us to trust in you when those opportunities arise. Father, we've just heard that your word is all that is the ultimate truth, and it is your word and the gospel it contains that people need to hear to have their lives transformed. So please, Lord, help us to remember that. Help us to know what it says, and help us to be prepared to say what we believe when we're in situations where we can. Father, please hear our prayers now as we bring them to you. Amen. Amen.
church and her family, and Lord, I just want to thank you that you have affected her life so clearly through the scriptures. Lord, I thank you that she's so excited about what she hears and reads, Lord, and that she's so encouraging to others and she wants to share her knowledge with you. Lord, I just pray that you would grow in her a strong spirit, Lord, that really knows you and understands the scriptures and is willing to pass on the gospel to others. Lord, we already see that in her life now. I pray, Lord, that you would help us as a church to support her in whatever she does in her life, Lord. Help us with the way that we teach her. Help us in the way that we encourage her. And Lord, I just pray that you would do marvelous things in her life. Amen.
Amen.
Well, thank you for her testimony about your word and Psalm 46 and a place of refuge which you in your grace have given to all your people. And we pray that we will find our refuge in you in times of trouble, in times of sadness. We particularly pray for Hank, and we ask that you'll give your grace and strength to him. Please, please give him full assurance of the faith. We pray. Please help Michelle and Jane and the rest of the family to be able to continue through this process, which has been going on for a while. That takes its toll as well. We pray that you will give them the strength they need and their families as well. To be able to know your goodness and to know comfort from you and to be able to become stronger through this time and not weaker. We pray it for your glory. Amen.
Amen.
Father, you are our refuge and our strength. And we need also with our front lines as well. Though we bring our refuge with us, we do have a front line where we meet this world. Darkness, where we meet those who do not know because their father, who do not know his savior. We think especially the riches of this sheep, you and Jess and Shore, saying we that they are part of our church family. We thank you that you have placed them front line in that really influence a lot of people. We give you each position of Christian College. Students, parents, need to be a model of Christian life, the Lord and Christ Jesus. Those children can also grow up and confess the faith of God. We thank you as that privilege we have to share as well as our contents. Thank you as well for Jess and Christian Labs, who is a great one being a master of things for us to know about. Thank you for the choice of bringing it around to
Amen.
So we thank you, family. They're part of role playing for our lives and help us pass right down from one generation to another. Thank you for all of your loving family. Thank you for the extended family we have in your church, and you, our Father. Thank you very much for the life of Brad and George Harper. Though most of us never met him, we see the evidence of his faith passed down generations to Graham and Helen, and we see how Graham and Helen have enriched our lives and enriched our faith, and those of their families. So, by the evidence of the people we know, we can see how one man's faith can affect many, many people in churches, congregations, in family, extended family. So, one man's faith can spread. So thank you that we are part of the benefit of that faith in
your loving servant.
Amen. Amen. Father God, we thank you so much that we do have a bunch of youth who want to know more about you. We thank you that you've led them to go to this youth convention over the weekend. And we thank you, Lord, that they heard the gospel so clearly and so boldly preached. And we pray, Lord, that you would continue to grow them. We pray that we will see more of what we saw today in Brook in the future. And we thank you so much, Lord, that this is what you want for them. We thank you too for the women who could go to this retreat over the weekend. We thank you for the talking and the study and the prayer that happened there. And we pray too that you would strengthen our women in whatever roles they have, Lord, whether it's being a mother and a wife or working, whatever it may be, Lord, please strengthen their faith in you, strengthen their desire to serve you, and strengthen the way they serve us in this church, Lord. And we thank you so much for them and for actually keeping them all safe. Lord, we thank you for this church. We thank you that we can be a people who can encourage each other. We thank you for your word, Lord, which gives us the wisdom to be able to do that, to encourage each other, and even if necessary, to rebuke each other. And we thank you so much for that. Help your word to be central to our lives, Lord, and help what we have heard today, I guess, to sit in our hearts and our minds and challenge us to think clearly about what we do and how we interact with your word. Father, we thank you and we praise you, and we have brought all these things to you through the name of Jesus, your Son. Amen. We're going to sing.
So just while we're singing, we'll start the giving ball out. It's going. This is our extra giving at One Way. If you haven't come prepared, don't worry, but we give to various concerns. And it's going this month towards Ministry Apprenticeships, and that means Dan. But he's doing a good job on the music, so we'll start it off up there, come down the middle, and then finish up at the back there.
that last verse we sang actually says it all, doesn't it? It's exactly what we need to hear. I'd like to read just the first three verses from John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. Thank you for being here with us this morning. Thank you for sharing in the celebration. Thank you for sharing in praising our God and being taught from his word. And I pray that what you have heard today will resonate in your heart, that you will continue to think about it, that you'll continue to talk about it and pray about it, and maybe even let it change your life. So please stay around for a coffee.